be having a Wednesday night service, and this is the reason. Now that you've sat, I'm going to let you stand up for the reading of the Word of God. Our church will be one of the churches highlighted at district camp meeting this week on Wednesday night, because we are a home missions church. It is Wednesday night is that service. If you can go down, you're more than welcome to. It's about an hour and 40-minute drive down and back. So it is a late night if you do that. Or if you want to just watch it at home, it will be live streamed. We will be sending that link out. Some of you already have it. It's a YouTube link that you can watch that service live. In fact, you can watch all of the services live this week if you want to. I'll pull that up about 7 o'clock every night this week. There'll be Power Pack preaching. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, and I like to keep our church kind of up to speed, because being a part of an organization gives us a covering. Amen? Nobody's an island unto themselves. And part of that is structure. And we need structure. We're people. We need structure. And one of those structures is going to be shifting this week. As Brother Straub, that has done such a tremendous job for a lot of years and has led this district with integrity and dignity. I was licensed and ordained under his leadership. And a great man of God, pastors in Maryville, Indiana, he has now decided he's going to shift his focus back on his church in the last few years that he has to retire. And we'll be electing a new district superintendent. That's a heavy weight, because they do give the pivot of where the district goes. And that's very important. So I'm wondering right now, before I get into my message, if we could bow our heads and we could pray for God's direction. I know I'm only one vote. My pastor's only one vote there. But I believe we need to have the mind of God when we go there. Amen. We need to have the mind of God. And I believe God will have his will, but I believe it takes men of God that will submit their will to God's will. Can we pray that God's will be done in that? Heavenly Father, we ask for direction. We ask that your Spirit would guide everything that takes place there at camp meeting this week. God, that your anointing would prevail, that your Spirit, God, would guide the minds of men, that we may be in perfect harmony with your perfect will, that we could hear your voice and we could be guided by you, God, and ultimately that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. God, I'm asking you to reach down and touch in this service, and I'm asking you to help me to preach and do a good job for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Numbers chapter number 14 is where we are going. Chapter number 28. I would like to, as you're turning there, Numbers 14, starting at verse number 28. We did have another miracle this week. I have lost count of miracles. We've had so many miracles, and one of those is a miracle baby, young man. I won't call him a baby. Young man named Dean in Florida, happens to be their grandbaby. They took the tube out, and it looks like that little fella is going to be going home. He's home. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? We've been praying for him, and he was in a terrible, terrible shape with an abscess inside his lung. And if you know what that is a very dangerous thing. And God has touched that little boy, and we are thankful. Our computer crashed. We were going to have to spend about $1,200 to $1,300 for a new one to handle the program we use. And the neighbor just sent me a text. He said, I'd brought it over. I've got a refurbished one. Do everything you need to do. Plus, he said, just pay me for the parts. It was like $60. Isn't that a miracle? God is so good. God is so good. That's just a list of many. Numbers chapter number 14, verse 28 says, saying to them, truly as I live, saith the Lord, ye have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness. He's got a way of words, doesn't he? And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses. They shall fall in the wilderness. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Breaking the box. Breaking the box. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. You see, we as individuals in today's world have things that we hold dear to us. We have things that we hold close to us. But when you look at a box, the purpose of a box, in some worlds it's different than others. And to some of us, it's to hold our stuff. Anybody got any boxes around the house? Things seem to disappear out of clutter if they can only find a box. And pretty soon you put enough stuff in the box, you really don't even know what's in the box. But if somebody picks that box up and says, I'm going to get rid of this box, war may take place in the house. Somebody may not go home if you mess with my box. We have these things called boxes around, and a box is used, number one, to carry things, but it's also used to collect things. It's to put things inside. It's to keep them from getting out. And how many of you are the ones that are even the neat freaks? That once you put it in the box, you close the box. And then you get that roller tape and you go smack. And you get your Sharpie marker and you write exactly what's in the box. And that is to protect what's in the box, not from coming out, but it's also to keep those that are on the outside. That are like your pastor that would happen to rummage through the box and think, I might could use this in the garage. From getting into your box. When I was growing up, it was a thing probably way before my age, and I'm not going to point anybody out that anybody might be old. I would like to say it's such a good treat to have my wonderful aunt. I love her so much. She is the sweetest thing. And then seated next to her is the prettiest woman in the world, next to my wife. Amen. That's my mama. I love you, Mom. But they had this thing that it was imaginary. And you will probably remember them as they did this if you're old enough. I'm showing a little bit of my age now. There would be nothing there. But yet, in an imaginary world, purely by the moving of your hand, they would take and he would start at a corner. And he would move to the top corner, to the other corner, down to the bottom corner. He would touch it. Anybody remember those guys that used to do that? As if there was something there. He would kick it and create something that really wasn't even there. But yet in the mind of individuals, he could convince you that you were in a box. Some of them were masterful. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago. If you haven't been, you aren't missing anything. Don't bother going. I don't like it anyway. But that's maybe you do. I'm sorry. But if you've never been to Chicago, I think Winamax is a much better city. A little God-fearing city. I'll take it any day. But if you've ever been to Chicago and you walk down the streets, they have these mind guys that do these things. And they can actually make things appear that are there that really aren't there. As if they're painting this picture and make it look so real. And many of us have these things in our lives. And let me just bring it a little closer to us now. How many of you have a history? How many of you have a past? How many of you have things in your world that the devil would like to define you? He would like to take it and say, that's who you are. That's who you'll always be. That's who your dad was. That's who your mom was. That's who your grandmother was. But we take these things that in a God world, in a biblical world, if you really believe that God washed your sins away and removed that shade of things around your life that once crowded you out. If we really believe that he washed us, my question for us is, why do we still have a tendency to dwell in a box? Why do those things that God said, I don't remember, we still remember, we still hold on to? You see, oftentimes we go through things in life, and one of the key concepts of that is we must understand that storms are going to come. And often we don't realize, but God has put those storms in place before we ever get there. God prepared the storm. Now he's preparing you to go through the storm. Those things that oftentimes we think are problems, and we want to drag up the past and bring them out because I'm now facing a frustration. We want to look back and pick something back up that says, this is the cause that I'm having to go through this. You see, I think sometimes the devil has more faith in you than you have in you. I think sometimes the devil puts more in our path, more prepared, more structured, more set up, because he is scared to death of you. And then he sits back, if I can just muse a moment, he sits back and watches you as you bounce around in the box, knowing if you ever really realize those walls aren't there, the damage that you could do. And he sits back because the devil is a deceiver. And he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And he sits back, and he messes with us, and he plays with us, and he tempts us, and we fall into the same traps over and over again. Now, I think it's time there's some apostolic stand up and say, you know what? I don't care what I used to be. I don't care what you think I am. I'm a child of the King, and I'm not held captive by the devil anymore. You see, breaking that box is not easy, because oftentimes many of us don't realize we found a sense of security in that box. It's that world we've learned to navigate and we can control. And it keeps everybody else from getting into my world. And I don't have to get into anybody else's. I have my own little safe zone. This seems to be the famous word now, safe zones. Everybody's got their little safe zone, their little space around them. But the reality is, we are a people. And when we all resort into our little boxes, we now isolate ourselves. And we now trying to find that security, we also keep God from being able to come in and help us. We do that because it's a domain that we've learned to navigate, and we can control the temperature in our box. You see, those barriers are safe zones. How close I let people in and how far I'm willing to go are determined by my box. These barriers are determined by our failures often, our fears, and our frustrations. But they also affect our future, our family, and our faith. We must realize that these trials and these things that we went through, oftentimes, God had already set things into motion. You see, many of you, if we really truth be known, the devil was fighting you before you ever come out of the womb. The reality is, he don't even want you to exist, because he knows if you ever really connect, if you really ever plug in to what God has for your life, and you ever really realize your potential as a child of God, you very well might give the devil a very bad day. And all the time we sit there in that box and we let him control the outside and we stay safely on the inside, not realizing that a bird that never pecks on that egg will never fly. There comes a point that we have to realize every section in our life, and hear me, young people, every section in your life, there's going to be a transition point. A point that you go from holding mom's hand to now all of a sudden, I can do it by myself. Anybody ever been there? You go from, I can do it by myself, to a little bit later in the teenage years, is ain't nobody going to help me. Who's going with me? Is my brother not really going to go out there and help me take out that trash? And you shift to a transition. And every phase of life, you transition from one transition to the next. And I think the biggest issue with today's society, can I just talk as a pastor? The biggest issue with today's society is this generation is still stuck in a box. They've never learned to let go. They've never learned to now live on their own. I think it was Brother Hopper and I that was talking just yesterday. Sometimes we don't realize that transition from being late teens going in to working a full-time job. It's fun, isn't it? It's hours. And you get up in the morning and we want to hang on to our friends. And we want to hang on to our buddies. And we want to know, how much fun am I going to have? And the reality is, when you go shift from being a teenager to a man, it's not measured by how much fun it is. It's measured by how much money can I bring home. It measures differently. If I sweat, and if I get blisters, and I'm going to be tired when I get out of the truck, and I'm not sure if my legs are going to straighten out, how much money is that going to put in my bank to pay my bills? And I'll tell you if I'm going to work for you. It's not measured anymore by whether I get to listen to music when I work. It's not measured by whether or not it's a good environment when I work. It's not measured by all the stuff that we thought was important as a teenager. All we measure it by is a different prism. That is, I've got a nest, and I've got a mother, and I've got children. And you know what? It doesn't matter about all that other stuff. I want to know if mama's going to be taken care of. I want to know if I'm going to have shoes to put on that baby girl before her toes come out the end. And those boxes and prisms that we put ourselves in, oftentimes we never shift from one to the next. And the danger in doing that is there's a cost. Because if you dwell too long within the egg, you will develop a mentality of what's living inside the egg. And you will never progress to the next level. As young people, hear me now. It's very important that you recognize there are transitions you will go through. And you might as well just bounce up and say, you know what? I'm going to take it with stride. I'm not in school anymore. I've got to take the world by storm. And if I'm going to take the world by storm, I might as well be the best storm that ever took the world. There's a mentality sometimes that we expect our young people to be the bottom of the barrel. Just get along in life. As a pastor, I didn't know the visitors would be here. I'm preaching like I'm known to preach to our church. There comes a point we realize that, you know what, if I'm a child of God, I ought to be the best at everything I do. I ought to pick up my feet. And I ought to be the fastest if I'm running a race. I ought to be the best worker if I'm on the job. I ought to be the best businessman if I'm in business. I ought to stand with integrity when I'm standing before the banker. Because we're children of the King. Sometimes that transition from the box to the new box oftentimes never happens. You see, every single generation is encased with something. You're known as Generation X or Generation Y or Generation Z, and we label that generation. But the last time I checked, that is just a perception of people. That perception is just people. When did people start determining where I go? Well, just asking. There comes a point that you've got to realize, if I'm a child of God, I bust out of the box of the norm. You are a peculiar people. We are not run-of-the-mill folks. Here's the difference. We don't get up with hangovers. We don't go to bed drunk. Can I get an amen in the house? We don't live one hit to the next hit. You know what? You automatically get a leg up on the rest of society because you tell the truth and you do what's right and you look people in the eye and you smile when you're mad and you hug them when you hate them. And you know what? That automatically puts you at the top. But the problem is we often stay stuck in that old world and we measure things by the wrong rules. Really, we are the children of God, and we don't live by the world's rules. We live under God's rules. And the longer you live, just as I was reading from the Word of God, the children of Israel found themselves in a place of a lack of faith, a sense of unbelief. Now, let me ask you, it would be easy for us to say, why in the world would they not look at those giants and those grapes and the stuff that's on the other side and recognize they have just come through the greatest miracle? It's easy for us to say that. But were they not the ones standing in the middle of the desert with the beating sun, eating manna? And in often cases, living in misery. But here's what we often miss. They had stayed in their box so long, they had never gotten out of a slave mentality. They never saw themselves as warriors because they dwelt too long inside the box of Egypt. Now when they have freedom, they don't know how to be free. Oftentimes we as individuals, when we come to God and we now have freedom, we still stay locked up simply because we haven't learned to live a free life. We've been locked up by the prisons of this world and the addictions of this world and the junk of this world and the mind of this world for so long that when we come into the presence of God, we create this little safe space and we're afraid if we step out of it, I'll go a little further. We even do it in church. Uh-oh. Are we apostolic in here? We get this little safe space that says, you know what, if I just lift my hand and say amen, it's going to be all right. Everybody will know I'm here. They'll know I made it this week. I haven't backslid. I'm just surviving. But they won't run over and put hands on me and pray for that. I'm praying back through. So we create this little safe space, even in church. What happened to the world that says, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. When I walk into this place, I see what I used to be, and I see what I am now. And look what the Lord has done. I think I'll just worship Him a little bit. I think I'll get excited about what God has done. I think I'll just bust out of this place and say, you know what? If you think I'm weird, the world does too. If you want to join me, come ahead. But if not, just stand back and gaze, because that's all right with me. The things that we as a church are going to have to move beyond is that fear factor of stepping out of a seat and saying, bless God, He's been good to me. Most of us wouldn't be sitting here today. Most of us wouldn't even be alive today. Most of us would be in jail somewhere. And our kids wouldn't speak to us. And our kids wouldn't like us. But there came a point that we came in contact with a man named Jesus. And He changed our world. You know what He did? He walked in with a hammer and said, I'll take that box. And He busted that thing all to pieces. And He let us out. And who is it to us to now, after we've had freedom, to go build this box around us again and hold ourselves captive? You see, oftentimes we don't understand the magnitude and the danger of being held by something that really doesn't even exist. I've used this illustration before, and I'll probably use it many, many times. Is there anybody that likes to fish in the house? Amen. They did an experiment, and they took this northern pike, and they put him in this tank. And then within this tank, they took this glass wall, and they slid it down inside there, so it looked like water, but it wasn't really water. And then they took these minnows, and they released these minnows inside the other side of the tank. And that northern pike would eventually go up to that wall, and he would hit that wall to try to catch those minnows, and boom! I know it was cruel, but it works for the illustration. He would hit his face, and he would stop and back up. He would see another one, and boom, he'd hit it again. He would swim around for a while and kind of shake his head, if a fish can shake his head, and probably like many of you, thinking, what in the world's going on? This ain't normal. Boom, he'd hit it again. There came a point that fish would just sit there, flap his gills. They pulled the glass partition out. The fish just sat there, flapped its gills, and it starved to death with fish all the way around it because of something that didn't really exist. Many of us go through life and that little facade of a blockage that says you can't do this and you can't do that and you'll never survive. I've come to tell some of you, you may have backslid, you may have messed up, you may have broken everything in your world, but there is something that God has says, I'm called you out for such a time as this. And you know what? We may be a church of broken, messed up people that once in the world, they'd have thrown us all away. But you know what? That's exactly what David had when he walked in and he started taking Philistines and chucking them to the side under their dead bodies and took back the kingdom and he took back the ark. You know what? You can't call something that God calls back and he refreshes and he repurifies and he pulls them out of that mess and he says, you know what? Now I'm going to put a calling on your life. I'm going to put a ministry in your world. I'm going to make you a Sunday school teacher. You know what he's doing? One more time. He came back to bust a box. To tell you one more time, you mean something to me. You see, the danger is, the longer we dwell outside, the more it affects the next generation. When you look at those children of Israel wandering around that desert after they said, we can't. God was furious with them. He wanted to kill them. But Moses said, don't do it. How many of us has God reached down and changed our world? Come on now. He's did the miraculous once. Some of us now the second time. Some of you maybe the third time. Some of you, I don't care, it may be the fourth time, but you better thank God every minute you're in His presence that you can still feel that anointing. You can still feel the presence of God flowing down your spine from the top of the head to the sole of your feet. Why? Because that just lets you know God still has a plan. God ain't wrote you off. You can still feel Him. You can still move under the anointing. There comes a point. We must understand making the wrong choice, choosing to stay in our box, will destroy the next generation. You see, the Bible said anybody under 20 years old was going to possess the promise. Anybody older would never step foot. The writer in the book that we were reading said, your carcass. I think he meant business. What do you think? Your carcass is going to lay in the desert. And it's going to be buried in the desert. And if you do the math on that, it's probably somewhere around 200,000 to 300,000 people were buried in the middle of that desert. Can you imagine what it was? One funeral after another. One funeral after another. One funeral after another. One funeral after another. Wandering around this place. And can you imagine what it must have been like for a daddy knowing I'll never see it? It was mine, but I'll never see it. All because they made the wrong choice. You and I sit here today. Peter gets a lot of guff about denying Christ at that most pivotal moment when he should have said the right things. He said the wrong thing. And he denied. And he walked away. See, Peter was a lot like us. He didn't know how to transition. He was still in a world that says kingdom-minded, kingdom-minded, kingdom-minded. And he had walked away from his job. He had walked away from his family. He had walked away from everything he knew. And he'd followed this man called Jesus for approximately a little over 3 years. He'd been close to him. He'd invested in him. And now all of a sudden he's standing there in the court. And we've got to understand, when you look at a perspective like that, it's easy to say, Peter, what were you thinking? But you never walked by the hills with people hanging. Many of them Jews. Many of them followers of Jesus. We don't know what it was for him to look. You know, this is the thing that helps me to understand this. Is I don't think, this is a little theological, but I don't think Peter really understood what Jesus really came to do. Or he'd have never denied. I think Peter was still living in this box or prism of what he thought God was. And what was holding him captive was a lack of revelation and a lack of seeing what was about to really take place. And oftentimes we sit in the presence of God. We sit in a church, and I hope this is okay, but I'm trying to help us as our church to see where we're going. Sometimes we don't see where God is taking us. We often get stuck in a place of what we view it as. And oftentimes, revival will come in the most unlikely places. And if we get frustrated in the process, how dangerous our destiny will be. You as moms and dads coming and living for God and recognizing what God can do in your life. Let this pastor tell you in all the fear of God that I can, the wrong decision will cause havoc in your family for the rest of your life. You say, do you mean yes, you'll have money. Yes, you will live. Yes, your children will live. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about there is no better feeling than being in the will of God. There is no better place to be than knowing I'm in His hands and He's in mine. And I can trust Him with every single thing of my life. That's where Peter had not quite gotten yet. How many's glad when we make the wrong decision? God doesn't give up on us. How many's thankful He doesn't throw us out with the bathwater because something was a little dirty? How many's thankful that He doesn't just say, well, I can never trust Him again? Because the last time I checked, Peter cashed it all in and he was ready to walk away. He was headed back to the boat. In fact, Jesus had to come back to the boat to get him, which I think in a sense probably frustrated him quite a bit. But there came a point. Peter was all in. Because he figured out now how to shift to the next phase Because now it's not us 12 men and a kingdom like we saw it. Now it's the kingdom of God. Now it's people. It's individuals. It's networking, telling people what God can do for you, He did for me. And my testimony can change your world. And if you really look, on the day of Pentecost, thousands of people. The first time it was really ever preached. You know the difference that will take you from being somebody that's stuck in a box and a denier of Jesus Christ can often be the revelation of what you see yourself in God. We don't trust ourselves, and we shouldn't. But we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And when we really realize what God can do in our life, we just might turn the world upside down. We just might baptize 9 people in 1 week. We just might take and redo a front of a building and see the miraculous hand of God nearly pay for every single bit of it. We just might see our children baptized, our grandchildren baptized. We just might, if we could ever recognize, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Because I'm not alone anymore. It's not my idea, it's God's. And when you get that perception, now all of a sudden you can throw caution to the wind. Why? Because I don't walk by sight anymore. Now I'm walking by faith. I used to measure my steps, but now I trust my steps. I used to wonder about my anointing. Now I know I have an anointing. I've seen it too many times. And you know what? I used to wonder if He'd hear my prayer. Now I know He's going to answer my prayer. I wondered one time if I'd ever make it to heaven. Now I know I'm going to heaven because I can trust Him. And I put every promise and I put it in my life and I put it down in my soul. And I'm going somewhere and I'm walking with purpose every day. Why? Because I finally broke that box. That box of what I see. Now I don't see what I see. I see what He sees. And boy, does that look different than what I used to see. Now I don't see a person as an alcoholic. I see him as a prospect for the mercy of Jesus Christ. Now when I see an addict, it's not the person that I said, get them off my street. I don't want them around my kids. Now you say, well, let them just get clean enough one day. I'm going to invite them over for dinner and I'm going to change their world because I'm going to introduce them to somebody that can change their world forever. And you know what you're doing? You're peeking a little door inside their box and saying, if you'll just peck a little harder, you'll just believe a little more, this thing will come crashing down. And there's going to come a day you won't need this stuff anymore because that's just an imaginary box in your world that you've locked yourself in. It's not God's will for your life. It's not everybody else's will for your life. But there comes a point you now get somebody else that says, you know, the scripture says very clearly, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And if you dwell in that box too long and you lose hope, you'll die in that state because you'll never have faith enough to get out of it. Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. My question for us today is, how many revivals? How many dreams have been broken? How many children have been lost? Because we didn't have enough faith to believe God would use me. My question for us here today is, how many souls are held captive out there? Because I'm the messenger. Can't trust God enough to to open a Bible and teach a Bible study because I'm afraid I might mess it up. Think about it, folks. Every day. Friends having funerals every day. Another funeral. And another funeral. And another funeral. And another funeral. And another funeral. While we're comfortably in our box. And the gospel is here. Whosoever will. And my question for you is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? If we really want to change our world, this music sounded great today, and it's necessary in the church. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Finally got to worship around the front today instead of playing the bass. Hallelujah. It's the word that's going to save people. We're just creating an atmosphere in here that's really going to change our world. It's a cup of coffee. An arm around somebody that's done roped themselves off in life. What's really going to change our world is that little kid that says, "Mom and Dad don't want me, and I don't even know if they are my mom and dad. Just surviving through life and angry at everybody." And you say they're not out there. Oh, yes, they are. I talked to two of them this week. They're out there living on the streets of Winnemac. They live here. No home. They're here. In and out of jail. Some of them been to this church. And you know what? Every time I see them in the street, I put my arm around them and they stink and they don't smell good. And you know what? I put my arm around them and say, "You know what? You can make it. Just somehow. Just come to church this Sunday. Let me love you just for a moment and tell you it's not over yet. The story isn't done. You can still have a life and have it more abundantly. There comes a point. You've got to bust out of the box. I can't do it for you. But I can stand on the outside and I can tell you, hit it again. Pray one more time. Listen to the preaching one more time because it just might change you this time. There'll come a day they're going to realize that that imaginary wall doesn't even exist. And they're going to walk out in freedom. You know what? It might be in your house. It might be in mine. It might be at the coffee shop. You're going to hear those words that says, "I don't know what you have. I don't know what it is about you, but you have such a happy life. You have such a freedom in your spirit. I don't know what it is." And you can say, "Yeah, but let me tell you, my God took my life that was broken. I should have been dead, but I'm alive. And God changed my world and He saved my soul." I wonder how many of you would come and lift your hands towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right now and thank you for allowing Him one more time to remind you what He did for you. Can we gather in around this front right now? It's alright, we're just apostolics here today. It's just what we do. Can we lift our hands towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why not today? If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, why not today? Why not bust out of that box? Why not push out of that place? Why not one more time? Just get beyond that place of comfortability and say, "God, I need something more of you. I need to push just a little bit farther, God. I know I'm used. I know, God, I don't have a lot to offer you, God. But I wonder what could happen, God, if I could see through your eyes, Jesus." Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? God, I'm asking you to let faith build in this place right now. Let your anointing begin to build in this place right now, God. Allow your spirit one more time, God, to walk up and down every pew, God, and allow them to see through your eyes the beauty, the majesty, the glory of you, God, the anointing of you, God, the blessings of living in your presence, God, is innumerable, it's unmeasurable. It'll change the next generation. They can lay their head on a pillow at night and know, God, you're there. And know, God, they're saved. And know, God, they're going to heaven. And know, God, that you've got them in every single situation. They can trust you. Come on, let's love him just for a few moments. If you need the Holy Ghost, there ain't no reason today you can't receive the Holy Ghost. Right now, just begin to worship him. Just begin to praise him. Just begin to love him. Right now, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, couples. Come on, reach into his presence. God's reigniting some things in you right now. God's healing some things in you right now. God's touching some things in your life right now. Come on, Dad. Reach out right now. Let him be what he called you to be. Let him reach out and give you direction in your life. Come on, Mom. Let him birth something in you right now. Nothing comes easy. You know what the travail of a child is. But when it breaks forth, it brings life. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise be to your name, God. There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you, Jesus. There's none like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let your anointing rest upon us, God. Won't you link up with somebody next to you? Where's your husband, your wife, family member? Link up with somebody close to you right now. I want you to pray right now, not for your box, but for theirs. I want you to pray God would allow you to help break out that thing in their life. Allow them to help to see exactly where God's calling them. Allow them to see the next steps when they're beginning to change from one step to the next. It's scary. It's not easy because I'm breaking out of my comfort zone. It's uncharted territory. But if you got enough faith, God will take you places you never dreamed you could go. And when you finally get there, there's a place that you will see Jesus Christ and really who he can be in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, God. Praise be to your name, God. Praise be to your name, God. Come on, it's not over in your life. It's not over in your world. You've only begun. God is preparing you for the next phase. It's just now starting. It's just getting to the place where he's going to take you to. But somehow, don't get stuck in that trap. Don't get stuck in that place. But look beyond the place you can't see right now. And let faith begin to rise. Let faith begin to elevate. Let faith begin to lift your eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I don't see it, but my children are going to be saved. I don't know how, but they're going to make their way back to you, God. I don't recognize it, but if I just stay faithful, they're going to see it. If I just stay faithful, they're going to feel it. If I just stay faithful, there's going to be a time. It'll happen. It'll happen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. If it's been a while since you spoke in tongues, this would be a good time to get a refilling of the Holy Ghost. If it's been a while since you had a fresh dip in the power of God, this would be a good time to break that box. This would be a good time. Let the Spirit of God just flow right through you from your head to your toes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's forget about the rest of the visitors here today. God's took a bunch of broken people, and he's taken us somewhere. Pastor's just trying to get you to see your potential in the power of God. He's trying to get you to see you've been called for such a time as this. If you can just recognize where God's taken you, we will take this city by storm. Hallelujah, Jesus. Last thing I want us to do, every single victory that came in the Old Testament came with something they would call a shout. Before the walls fell in Jericho, there was a shout. I wonder if you're from this city and this area, can you lift your hands right now and lift a shout to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Let it happen. Let it fall, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, walls are falling in your life. It's not just outside these walls, but walls are falling in your world right now. Thank you, Jesus. You walked around them long enough. It's time they fall. You played the trumpet long enough. It's time you've been silent long enough. It's time they fall. There's some relationships that are rebuilding. There's some things that are happening in your world. There's some families that are reaching down and being healed right now in this place. Some kids that maybe haven't talked to you in a long time. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. There's some things being healed right now. All because you just have enough crazy faith to say, God can do it even when I don't see it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him some praise and worship one more time in closing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus. You've spoken to us today. You've walked amongst your people today. You've broken some things in the world to allow them to believe one more time. There was no guarantee they'd ever see this time again. But they're here. And they see it. And they know it. And they know you. And they know you're real because they've seen you operate before. But today, God, I'm asking you to reignite a faith inside of them, to bust out of what they think their religion always was and brokenness and stuff that they may not even understand about apostolic. But today, God, I'm asking you to raise their faith in you. Allow them to get a glimpse of what it is to live in true freedom. And allow them one more time, God, to take one step while you take two. And it may not be the biggest step. But the first step was walking in this place today. The second step very well may just be trusting you again. They just might allow you, God, to be God of their life. And as a pastor, just like Moses prayed for a people that didn't get it right, I'm asking you to raise this group of believers one more time to take this city by storm. In Jesus' name.